The message from God's Word. This is Bible reading class number 154. We're studying the book of Exodus, a very, very, very exciting book. I have written an interlinear commentary, grammatical study, etymology, and everything you can think of on the book of Exodus. And we're going from that. I'm reading it. The translation mainly from Hebrew, because I won't miss something if I read it from English. Miss a lot, actually. So let's start with 4 and verse number 27. Aaron and Moses meet after so many years, after 40 years. They haven't seen each other for 40 years. And so they're going to meet, and that's where we are. Vayomer hadavar el ha-horon elek likrat Moshe ha-midbara vayelek vayepageshu bihar ha-elohim vayeshak. And he said, Jehovah, unto Aaron. And Jehovah said unto Aaron, you go. To meet Moses in the wilderness. And he went, and he met him in the mountain of God, in the mountain of Elohim here. The mountain, Bihar, B as a preposition there, Har is mountain, and the mountain of the God, Ha Elohim. And he kept on kissing him. The word Isaac, or Itzik, is the root of this word, and he kept on kissing him, third person masculine singular, cow, while consecutive person. I can imagine after 40 years now, they see each other, brothers. Moses is now 80 years old, and Aaron is even older than that. And he told him, Moses, and Moses kept on telling him, telling to Aaron, all the words of Jehovah, all of the edicts, all of the words, the var is what it is here, which he had sent him, and all of the signs which he had commanded him. Now, where is the power to do these signs? In the rod of God. God had placed in that inanimate object all of this power. When Moses, it was like a magic wand. And when Moses would say or have Aaron say what he wanted to say, the rod would bring it to be. In other words, God did it, because this is God's rod, or the rod of God. And he walked Moses and kept on walking, and Aaron, and they gathered all of the elders, the sons of Israel. Now, the family heads is what it's talking about. All of the family heads of the sons of Israel. And they had still had family heads all of those 400 years down in the land of Egypt. They still know what family they were from. And now they're going to meet with them. And he spoke Aaron. Now this word here, spoke there, it comes from the bar again. And it's third person singular, PL, while consecutive and perfect. PL stem is of great force. He spoke with great force and authority, Aaron. And he kept on speaking with great authority, Aaron. The words, all the words which he had spoken Jehovah unto Moses. Remember now, God said that since you won't talk, you're going to have Aaron speak to you, and he's a good speaker, but you tell him you be a God to Aaron, and Aaron will be a prophet to the people. So now that's what's taking place here. And he's speaking to all the elders, all the family heads of Israel, and there's a lot of them. There's over a million people here. And he performed the signs. Now this word, Ha, atat, here, Hath. That means wonders. That means miracles. Before the eyes of the people. And the word people here is ha'am again, and that means the family. The family. Verse number 31 now. And they believed and kept on believing the people. And they heard that he had visited Jehovah, the sons of Israel. Jehovah is going to visit the sons of Israel. Now, we're going to go back and look at the word Jehovah again for a few moments. Jehovah means he who shall become. It comes from the Hebrew word to become. And it means he who shall become. Now, the title Jehovah is the Redeemer, the covenant God of Israel. In John 1:14 it says, Kaiho logos arx ganito, and the Jehovah, or the Word, flesh he became, and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In John 1:18 it says, no one has seen God at any time, but the only begotten God, that one being in the bosom of the Father, he has led himself out, little voice. He became. He brought himself out, Jehovah brought himself out of eternity into space and time in the flesh of Jesus Christ. John 1:1 says that he existed forever in the eternity past, and Jehovah was an inseparable part of the Godhead. But Jehovah became flesh. And they believed, the people believed, and they heard that Jehovah had visited the sons of Israel, and because he had seen the affliction, the torture, the misery, and that they bowed down, and they kept on bowing down, and they prostrated themselves. All the people bowed down and prostrated themselves before Moses and Aaron. And the God, they were the messengers of God, and they bowed down to them because they were messengers and they were the administrators of God's kingdom right now. Chapter 5 and verse number 1 now, we're in the 5th chapter. And afterwards they had come in, Moses and Aaron, and they said unto Pharaoh, now we're going to go to Pharaoh, thus he has said, Jehovah, the God of Israel, send away my people that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. Pharaoh, this is not your people, they are my people. Pharaoh, these people are your slaves right now, but they are my people. They are my people. Now, in the book of Jasher, and chapter 79, 19 through 26, it talks about this meeting. The book of Jasher. We're trying to get this all together. I want you to see everything about this meeting. Now, the book of Jasher says that the plagues lasted 2 years. We don't know exactly how long they lasted. Anywhere from 3 to 6 months, maybe 2 years. We don't know. But God gave Pharaoh a long time to repent, and he didn't do it. Let's put it that way. Chapter 79. We saw in 78 the call of Moses. And it says, Moses and Aaron came to Egypt to the community of the children of Israel. And they spoke to them all the words of the Lord, and the people rejoiced exceedingly and greatly rejoiced. And Moses and Aaron rose up early the next day, and they went to the house of Pharaoh, and they took in their hands the rod of God. The rod of God is where all the power that they're going to do these miracles with. It's not some good luck charm or some crucifix or something. This is a rod that has all of the power of God in it to do these miracles. And by the way, they went into the palace of Pharaoh, and they had to go by these two trained lions. the trained lions would kill anybody that came through there, but they went through there, and the servants of Pharaoh told him they were like puppy dogs to Aaron. They're like puppy dogs. They're no longer fierce. And Moses hastened and lifted up his stick upon the lions and loosed them, and Moses and Aaron came into the king's house. And the lions came with them in joy, and they followed them in joy as the dog rejoices over his master when he comes in from the field. You know how that is. Sharon, if you take off and go someplace for a few days or a few hours, you come home, and that dog is jumping all over the place, just really, really happy. And that's the way these lions were. They're not fierce anymore. They're just like puppy dogs. And when Pharaoh saw this thing, he was astonished. And he was greatly terrified at the report or the fame of these men, for their appearance was like the appearance of the children of God. And Pharaoh said to Moses, "What do you require?" And they answered and said, "The Lord God of the Hebrews has sent us to you to say, send forth my people that they may serve me." Now we're reading in between the lines of the Bible and over here in this history book, the book of Jasher. Hasafer Jashur, the scribe Jasher, the historian Jasher. When Pharaoh heard the words, he was greatly terrified before them, and he said to them, "Go today and come back to me tomorrow." And they did according to the word of the king. And when they had gone, Pharaoh sent for Balaam the magician and James and Jambres his son. And this is where, in 2 Timothy 3 and 8, that Paul gets the names of the magicians. And all the magicians and all the conjurers and counselors, they belonged to the king, and they all came and sat before the king, Pharaoh. And the king told them all the words which Moses, his brother Aaron, had spoken to him. And the magician said to the king, "But how came the men to you on account of the lions which were confined at the gate? How did they get here?" And the king said, "Because they lifted up the rod against the lions and loosed them, and they came to me, and the lions rejoiced at them as a dog rejoices to meet his master." And Balaam, the son of Beor, the magician, answered the king, saying, "These are none other than magicians just like we are. Now therefore, send for them, and let them come, and we will try them." And the king did so. And in the morning Pharaoh sent for Moses and Aaron to come before the king, and they took the rod of God and came to the king and spoke to him. Now the devil has great powers, people. Great powers. He is not omniscient. He is not omnipresent. He is not omnipowerful, but he has great powers. He is a supernatural being. Now this supernatural being, Satan, is working through Jannes and Jambres. "Thus said the Lord God of the Hebrews, send my people that they may serve me." And the king said to them, "But who will believe you that you are the messenger of God and you've come to me by this order? And therefore, give me a wonder, a sign, a miracle in this matter, and then the words which you speak will be believed." And Aaron hastened and threw the rod of his hand into Pharaoh before him, and the rod turned into a howler, a tanin, a dragon, a fire-breathing dragon, a supernatural being, a leviathan. And the sorcerer Saul. Now, just imagine this now. First of all, when Aaron throws his rod down, Moses saw it turn into a serpent before. But it's not a serpent now. It is a giant, supernatural leviathan dragon. Let me tell you a little bit about the history of leviathans in the Bible. There was a lot of legends about them. Everybody that went out in the sea, when there was a great storm in the sea, they thought the leviathan was stirring up the waters against them. The leviathan of supernatural powers causing these great storms. When Jesus was out on the Sea of Galilee many years after this happened, there was a great storm, and they believed that there was a great leviathan down there from the gates of hell sent up. They said the bottom of the Sea of Galilee was the gates of hell. And they thought this leviathan was stirring the waters. And Jesus said, "Be still."
and it was calm.
And the rod turned into a Leviathan. And the sorcerers saw this, and they cast each one whose rod upon the ground, and they became dragons. Supernatural beings, fire-breathing dragons. Now the dragon of Aaron's rod lifted up its head and opened its mouth to swallow the rods of the magicians. And Balaam the magician answered and said, this thing has been from the days of old, and that a serpent or a dragon should swallow its fellow, and the living things devour each other. You know, this is just normal. Don't believe this. The devil is really working on Pharaoh. Now therefore restore it to a rod, as it was at first, and we will also restore our rods that they were at first. Now, this isn't what really happened. Now, we're going to find out the rods got ate. If your rod shall swallow our rods, then shall we know the Spirit of God is in you, and not that you are a magician, artificer, like ourselves. Aaron hurried and stretched forth his hand and caught hold of the dragon's tail, and it became a rod in his hand, and the sorcerers did likewise with their rods. Now Satan did this. This is the power, supernatural powers of Satan. Say Satan can't create. Well, he sure did something right here. I'm not trying to build Satan up, but I'm going to tell you how strong he is, how powerful he is. But God is more powerful, and God's going to put him in the bottomless pit forever and ever and ever in hellfire forever. Because God is omnipotent, He's omnipresent and all-knowing. Satan is not. They got hold of each man the tail of his dragon, and they became rods at first. And when they were restored to rods, the rod of Aaron swallowed up their rods. When the king saw this thing, he ordered a book of records that related to the kings of Egypt, and they brought the book of records and the chronicles of the kings of Egypt, in which all the idols of Egypt were inscribed, for they thought of finding therein the name of Jehovah. But they found it not. And Pharaoh said to Moses and Aaron, behold, I have not found the name of your God written in the book, and his name I do not know. Remember what God told Pharaoh, or told Moses? He said, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart. I'm going to harden his heart. I'm going to make his heart like stone. I'm going to make him unreasonable. Because I'm going to do many miracles before him and because of him. And it will glorify me and bring you out of the land of misery and servitude and Egypt. And the counselors and wise men answered the king, we have heard that the God of the Hebrews is a son of the wise and a son of ancient kings. Pharaoh turned to Moses and Aaron and said to them, I know not the Lord whom you have declared, neither will I send your people. And they answered and said to the king, the Lord of lords, and God is his name, Adonai HaAdonaim, in the Hebrew language. And he proclaimed his name from us from the times of old to our ancestors and sent us, saying, go to Pharaoh and say unto him, send my people along. A way that they may serve me. They are my people, not yours. Therefore, send us away, that we may take a journey of 3 days in the wilderness, and there we may sacrifice to him from the days of our going down into Egypt. He has not taken from our hands either burnt offering, oblation, or sacrifice, and if you will not send us, then his anger will be kindled against you. And he will smite Egypt, either with a plague or with a sword. Pharaoh said to them, now tell me his power and his might. And they said to him, he created the heavens and the earth, the seas and all the fish. He formed the light and he created the darkness. He caused rain upon the earth and he watered it. And he made herbage and grass to sprout, and created man and beast and the animals of the forest. and the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, and by his mouth they live and they die. Surely he created you in your mother's womb, put in you the breath of life and reared you, and placed you upon the royal throne of Egypt. And he will take your breath and soul from you and return you to the ground from which you were taken. And the anger of the king was kindled at their words and said to them, but who among all the gods and nations can do this? My river is my own, and I have made it for myself. And he drove them away from him. And he ordered the labor upon Israel to be more severe than it was yesterday and before. And Moses went out from the king's presence, and they saw the children of Israel in an evil condition, for the taskmasters had made their labor exceedingly heavy. And Moses returned to the Lord and said, why have you allowed these ill-treated people? For since I came to speak to Pharaoh that you sent me to do, for he has exceedingly ill and used the children of Israel. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, you will see that with an outstretched hand and with heavy plagues, Pharaoh will send the children of Israel from his land. And Moses and Aaron dwell amongst the brethren of the children of Israel in Egypt. As for the children of Israel, the Egyptians embittered their lives with heavy work which they imposed upon them. At the end of 2 years, the Lord again sent Moses to Pharaoh to bring forth the children of Israel and to send them out of the land of Egypt. Now, it says here that there was a lot of lapse in time. We don't know how long it was. Let's go back now and read from God's Word up to where we read in the book of Jasher. The book of Jasher is not an inspired book, but it is a history book written during this time. And afterwards he had come in Moses and Aaron, and they said unto Pharaoh, thus he has said, Jehovah Elohim, or Jehovah our God, the God of Israel, send away my people, that they may hold for me a feast in the wilderness. And he said, Pharaoh, and kept on saying, Pharaoh kept on saying this over and over and over again now, who is Jehovah? Who shall I keep on listening to? In whose voice to send away Israel? The word send away there in the PLCM, it means violently send them away. And boy, later on that happens. Not I do know him, Jehovah. And also Israel not I shall send away. Israel not shall I keep on sending away. And that's in the PLCM. I'm not going to run them out of the land. I'm not going to push them out of the land. But he would. God wasn't finished with him yet. Now whether it was 6 months or a month or 2 months or whatever it was between this period of time when he went there and performed the miracles in the palace of Pharaoh. Remember the magician said he's just like us. This is just like us. We're just magicians just like he is. We have powers. These magicians had powers, didn't they? How could they not, if they didn't have power, how could they turn their rods into leviathans, dragons? Yeah. It was by the power of Satan. And they said and kept on saying, Elohi, the God of the Hebrews, he has met upon us, he's met with us. Let us go, let us walk, please, a journey of 3 days into the wilderness. And allow us to offer slaughters, sacrifices to Jehovah, our God, lest he meet us with pestilence. 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 Death. And then with sword. With desolate, famine, sword, wastelands, unless he shall attack us. That's all in that word. That's all in that word there. Let's look at that word now. Bishoreb, and Hab, or Bob Debar. Pestilence. He will turn this place into a wilderness. Remember back in Joseph's day, Egypt became a wilderness for a while. 7 years of wilderness. He said, I'm going to dry up he'll dry up the land again, Pharaoh. He'll wipe this place out. He did it before. And they said unto them, the king of Egypt, Melech Mitzrayim, Lamach. Why, Moses and Aaron, you disturb, you become unruly. You become unruly in my presence. So that the people leave their work, you get out of here and go to your burdens. You get out of here and you go to work. From their work, their products of employment, their deeds. Mem ma asal. Again, the word asal there, that means the slave. Verse number 5 now. Wayomer, and he said to Pharaoh, behold, hen, behold, rabin, many now people in the land, and you make them to cease their works, their burdens, their labors. There are many people in this land, and you're wanting to make them cease their labors and go out in the wilderness for a party? And he commanded Pharaoh in that day that his taskmasters press his overseers, Hanagesim, his overseers, his taskmasters, among the people, their taskmasters are overseers, saying, not, ye shall continue, ye shall add again to give them straw. Now, they were making bricks, remember, like adobe bricks. And to make adobe bricks stick together so it won't break and just crumble up, they put straw in it. And so he said, from now on, you don't give them straw. You make them go get the straw themselves and make them give you me the same amount of bricks. They have to be the same tally as before. You shall not keep continuing giving them straw to the people. To make bricks, the bricks like yesterday and the third, they shall go and pick up straw. They shall go and pick up straw for themselves. Now they got another job. And the people of Israel got upset. They were upset. And a fixed measurement of the bricks, the tally of bricks, which they are making yesterday and the third day, they shall place or keep on putting upon them, and not you shall diminish, and not you shall slack off from it, because these are lazy ones. These are lazy ones. And they therefore, they are crying and saying, let us walk, and let us sacrifice and slaughter to Jehovah or to Elohim. Now, everybody's got an Elohim. Did you know that? Elohim is the God, the creator of the universe. And everybody has an Elohim. Whether he's an atheist or what he is, he's got a God that created and gives him life and breath. But only God's people have Jehovah. Jehovah is a covenant God. The one that saves your souls. The one that places you in the right place at the right time. The one that protects you. The one that allows you to live and serve him. And let it become heavy. The slaving. Let their slaving become heavy. All the history of the world, slavery has been a curse upon mankind. The sons of Ham made the first slaves. The sons of Cain, even before that, made slaves. God cursed the ground because of Cain, and Cain made slaves out of mankind so he could produce the same as he did before and live in luxury. He used other people to sweat. And that's what's happened in the history of the world. In the Arab world today, in the Muslim world today, you still have slavery. In America, you have slavery in the Muslim world under Sharia law, because they can have all of the slaves they want. And they demand that they live under Sharia law and not the Constitution of the United States or wherever they go, whether it's in Denmark, Sweden, or wherever it is in England. They want to be under their so-called prophet's law, Sharia law. Slavery is alive in the world and alive in America today. Slaving upon men. And they may work, they may slave, and not, they may trust the words, the lies of these prophets. They will not trust the lies of these prophets. They won't trust the words of Jehovah and the commands of Moses. And they went out, the taskmasters, the people, upon the people, their overseers, their foremen, and they spoke unto the people, saying this, thus he has said, Pharaoh, not I will give you to your straw, I will not give straw to you anymore. And you all, you go out and you take for yourselves straw. You got one more job to do. From which you may find, because naught shall be the tally diminished from your work, not one little bit. Now, according to the book of Jasher, I want you to understand the tribe of Levi was never in this hard labor. They were goldsmiths and silversmiths. They weren't among these slaving ones here. They had different jobs. 5 and verse 12. And he scattered the people in all the land of Egypt to pick up stubble and straw for the bricks. And the taskmasters urging, saying, complete your work according to each, the word here is Yom Nevar, each quota for each day, each work for each day, each tally for each day, in the day, just as had become the straw before. When you had straw before provided for you, you're going to make the same amount of bricks every day that you made when you didn't have to go gather straw. Now, there's a lot of straw in the land of Egypt because it's the land of red mud and canal banks, remember? Canal banks and red mud is the irrigated land, and they grew a lot of wheat and barley in that country. And they were beaten. The overseers, the sons of them, they had been beating them. They kept on beating them, the sons, they kept on beating the sons of Israel, the taskmasters, whom they had placed over them, being taskmasters of Pharaoh, saying, why not have you completed and finished your fixed amount, your fixed amount of labor to make bricks like yesterday? And the third day also, and yesterday also, and the day before. And came in the overseers, the sons of Israel, and they cried unto Pharaoh, saying, why do you do? Why do you keep on doing thus to your slaves? Why are you being so wicked to your slaves? Straw not is given to us, to your slaves, to make bricks. And they say to us, they keep on saying to us, you make bricks, and behold, your servants, they are beaten, they are struck, they are caned, and they are beaten with rods. And and they have sinned against your people. Your taskmasters have sinned against your slaves. And he said, they are lazy. And they are being lazy. Therefore you, saying, let us go, and let us walk and sacrifice and slaughter to Jehovah. And now, go and get back to your work. Get back to your slaving. And straw not shall be given to you, and the fixed amount of bricks you shall give. And they saw the overseers of the sons of Israel themselves in extremity, saying, not, ye shall fall short from your quota of bricks, not like in the days past. And they met Moses and Aaron standing to meet them, and they're going out from Pharaoh. And they said unto them, may look or see Jehovah upon you, and judge you, who have made our lives even more evil than before. And our taste in the eyes of Pharaoh and the eyes of his slaves, and give the sword into the hand to kill us. You've made Pharaoh want to kill us. And now Moses and Aaron go unto Jehovah, and he returned Moses and Aaron to Jehovah. And Moses said, Lord, haven't I, Lord of lords, why have you done this evil thing to your people, to this your people? And why then have you sent me? And since I came in unto Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to the people, to this people, and delivering not, you have delivered your people. And Jehovah said unto Moses, now, you shall see what I shall do to Pharaoh, because with a mighty hand he shall send them away. With a mighty hand he shall send them away, and in a hand strong he shall drive them out from the land, from his land. Me'aretz, from his land. He's going to drive them out forcefully from his land. What a story, huh? A story of a God that's going to deliver his people. And God is testing the people, and he's testing Aaron and Moses, and he's testing Pharaoh all at the same time. He's seeing what they're made out of. Seeing what they're made out of. I'm reading the history book right now about a woman by the name of Virginia Hall. She was an American citizen. She went to France. In a hunting accident, she accidentally shot her foot with a shotgun, and they ended up taking her leg off up to her knee. So she was disabled a lot because she had to wear a wooden leg. And she went over there into France, and during the captivity that Germany brought upon them, they went in and captured and took over that land. And it's kind of like it is today in America. The leadership that we have in America today is demanding what Hitler demanded, and what Hitler did to France and Poland, Netherlands, all of these European nations, when he went in and conquered all of these lands. And he brought them under his control, and they had no freedom of speech at all. And if you didn't believe like he believed, you were arrested. Now, in America today, the Biden administration has terrorized the Republican people, the leadership of the Republican people. All during Trump's administration, they arrested his people and they tortured them and brought crimes against them that they did not commit. And they put them in prison to show them that they weren't going to take over, that they were still in control, that the deep state was still in power. If you read that book, a woman of no importance, you will see what happened then is happening to us here today. I hope that we can shake the irons of the tyranny off of our legs and our arms. I hope that we can do that. Virginia Hall helped the resistance in France. And sometimes a woman has to do things that a man won't do. There was a man there saying that he had hundreds of people in his army. If they just send him money and power and arms and everything, that he would take over and they would go in there and start attacking the Germans. He was a lazy liar. Virginia kept on sending him messages to do this, to do that, and he never corresponded with her at all. But they sent him thousands of francs to do what he said he was going to do, and he didn't do it. That woman was a backbone of the resistance in France for years. She did the job of 20 and 30 men. She was very, very wise in what she did. She had to be careful. Many times she was nearly caught. If they'd have caught her, they would have executed her because they knew that she was the backbone of resistance in that land of France. She got people out of prison. They escaped. She got channels where they could go back into England. The most important thing there at that period of time was communication. In America today, we have these ABC, NBC, CBS, and CNN that are absolutely propaganda channels. That's all they are, propaganda. Just exactly like what happened in France during Virginia Hall's time. Propaganda channels, propagating all of this, always pushing and always downing the other side. No matter what good they did, you'll never see it. They will never admit it. That book reminded me, as I read that book, it reminded me of us in our world today. And just think about it now. The people have turned on Moses and Aaron. Now Moses and Aaron go back to God and say, "Why are you allowing this?" He said, "Just watch out. Just shut up and watch out. Watch what that rod's going to do next. Watch what that rod's going to do next." Father, we send this message out to your people all over the world. I ask you to use it for your honor and glory. And Father, I pray that people out there are saved and they're confirmed in your word. I pray that you touch their lives, those that are sick, that you help them to come back up and get back on their feet again. I pray especially for Wayne and for Otis, for the different people, Gloria. I pray that you touch their lives and help them through the times of sickness. Get them back on their feet again. Please forgive me where I fail you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.